Hello, friend. As always, I'm excited to be back with you today and on this journey with you. I have a really fun topic today. Putting the Band-Aid on it. Hopefully that brought up some immediate mental images, some that you're going to connect with. Have you ever gotten a cut before? Okay, so I'm guessing that most of you out there are nodding your head. Yeah, I got that. I can relate. If you can't relate, kudos to you, because I don't know anybody that hasn't ever gotten a boo-boo, right? Question number two, speaking of boo-boos, have you ever had a child come to you crying because they got a cut or a boo-boo? Sometimes they weren't really cuts, but they were catastrophes. Well, if the answer is yes to that question, then as you're looking down at this child or this person who's cut, in some way you're probably viewing this in a somewhat informed and educated way. That's to say that you can recognize if it needs a doctor's attention and maybe a few stitches, or if it's worthy of a kiss and it's maybe a really cool Band-Aid. I have to tell the story right here because it just resonates with where I'm at. So my daughter, one of my older daughters, told her husband one time, her mom, me, I'm so glad to have this honor, but her mom was one of those really uncompassionate moms, and that if she came running in the house and you were crying because you had a boo-boo, that she would look at you and say, is there blood? Is there a bone sticking out? Okay, you're good. Keep playing. It made me feel really kind of bad when I looked back at it. But quite honestly, I don't know about you, but Band-Aids around here are really hard to keep in stock. I have teenagers at this point in my home, and I can still go through a box of teenagers. But that would be fun too, right? I can go through a box of Band-Aids in the house in more than a few weeks' time, and I don't know what they do with them. Anyhow, regardless of the type of cut that it is, if the skin's broken, there is a process for healing, right? And it has to take place. Any type of animal group that you come from, right? We're in the human group, dog, cat, lizard, whatever you are, any kind of animal, if skin is broken open, it has to heal. And this typically takes stages in order for it to happen. It's not an overnight thing. Sometimes that we can notice that the healing process is taking place pretty quickly. Sometimes we don't even notice that the healing place is even happening. We'll look down one day and realize, oh, that scab's gone. Oh, there's no scar. Or, oh, there's a scar, right? We don't even, are not even conscious of it sometimes, right? Sometimes we are fully aware of it, because there's this sensation of itching that goes along with it. Have you ever had one of those scabs? I imagine that has something to do with infection, but have you ever had one of those scabs that right around the edges, you feel the pulling and the tightness, and then it itches really, really bad as it's healing, and so you're constantly trying not to pick the scab? Okay, maybe you're a scab picker. I know a few of my kids are that way. But I'm not. It grosses me out. So I just itch all around the outside of the scab. And I also don't want the scar that the scab leaves if I pick it off early. So anyhow, but you get the idea, right? There's a sensation of itching that goes along with it. It is a sense that healing is taking place underneath that scab, that the body is doing its natural process of caring for itself. Well, obviously, my podcast today is not about cuts and their healing process, because I'm not a medic, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, and there's a good reason for that, because I don't do blood well. But I think that cuts and wounds create this great analogy for the types of cuts or wounds that happen on our insides. The crazy thing about us humans is that we are totally, okay, not always, but typically we're totally accepting that external wounds take time, that they have a healing process they go through, and it's a natural process, and it doesn't happen overnight. We're pretty okay with that most of the time. But there's this weird dynamic that takes place when it is more about an emotional injury. We actually are not as forgiving. Some of us aren't forgiving at all. I think this is really strange, but it's also a really common feature for us humans. It happens a lot. It's a strange thing that we have inside of us that has this, maybe it's reasoning, maybe it's logic, I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know the exact terms for it. But we have this ability to sort out our negative emotional events into categories. And I'm not going to go into all of them today, but here's a couple of them that you might resonate with. You might be able to suppress emotions. I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm just talking about ways in which we handle internal healing. Maybe you have the capacity to suppress emotions. So that's to say that you don't really forgive. You just sort of put the memory on a back burner and disregard it as important. It becomes unimportant to you, right? Let me give you an example. Let's say you get into a fight with your brother or whoever. You both say really, really harsh words. They're not just hurtful. They're deep cutting and they're damaging. In fact, the argument is so painful for both of you that you walk away from one another with that cold shoulder. There's no forgiveness that takes place. There's no apology. There's nothing extended, no kindness extended. You just walk away in anger. Maybe a week or two goes by and you still haven't mended that relationship. But now it's approaching mom's birthday. I don't know. Some big event, a wedding's coming up, family party, whatever it is, right? And you need to reach out to your brother for some specific reason. And so in your mind, because you're able to suppress the emotions that took place in that argument, in your mind, you're able to rationalize the phone call. Obviously, I'm not in your mind. I don't know what that looks like. For each of us, it's different. But somehow, some way, as humans, we're able to rationalize, okay, that wasn't really so bad. He obviously knows that I didn't mean those things. I wouldn't ever just say those things. But again, that's that rational piece, right? We can't really focus on those things now. The argument's over. We need to move on. Right? Have you ever spoke those words to yourself? This is this form of suppressing emotion. I kind of wonder if you pick up the phone and call your brother, if when he sees your number on the other end on his phone screen, if he's even going to answer it. Let alone, is he going to be nice when he does answer it? Maybe you have another ability, and that is to deflect or distort an event, in this case, the argument. And so you're able to make this assumption that your brother was the one being irrational and you forgive him, so what's the big deal? Since it's all his fault, you won't even bring it up, and then he's not going to feel bad about it at all. Okay, again, I'm wondering, some of you are wondering the same thing, how's that phone call going to be received on the other end of the line? I know I use a lot of imagery, but I think it helps us to grasp some of these deeper concepts and apply them to our own personal lives, right? So just like that argument, just like the healing of the scab that the little boo-boo that the child gets, or we get, right? Some of them have required big stitches in my lifetime, in my kid's lifetime. Rocks into faces, body parts broken, you know, things like that. But again, just as that healing process of the skin must take place, and I'm not qualified to speak into that. I'm also not qualified to speak into some of the psychological reasoning behind these behaviors, but they're important we notice them. And so what I hope you see is that they're coping mechanisms. We all have them to an extent. But sometimes what happens is that we deal with them in a positive way, or we deal with them in negative ways. Oh my goodness. My dog is barking and howling its sirens. I hope you can't hear him. But if you can, my apologies. Back to the thought. Sometimes our coping mechanisms are in positive ways. And like I said, sometimes they're negative. And I used some examples here to talk about those negative. But we're talking about inner healing, right? So one of the things I'm leaning into right now is this negative and its influence on our physical and our emotional, mental, and our spiritual self, because it can be huge. So let's go back to that argument for a minute. Say you end up making that phone call and your brother's not in the same mental state as you, which is probably more likely the case. Let's say he hasn't processed or suppressed the event. Maybe for him, it's still raw. Like that wound, it's no longer fresh. It's begun to close up just a little bit, just to scab over a little bit. But when he answers the phone and hears your voice, that same voice that spoke those harsh words into him, now the scab is ripped off. And fresh blood is seeping to the top, or it's spilling over, it's pouring out, right? Because for him, healing hasn't taken place yet. And healing hasn't taken place yet for, I hate to say the word you, because I'm just kind of talking in picture here. I'm not really placing that blame on you as the listener, but hopefully you get that idea. The argument hasn't healed on either end. One has been able to suppress or distort the facts. One is still just not even in that place, right? And it's, like I said, it's the same thing that allows, that we allow to happen when we allow our emotional injuries to fester. You know, one of the most common responses, and I hope you hear a little bit of irritation in my voice there. We all use it. We're all guilty of it at some point. But one of our most common first responses is that it'll take time. It's okay. We'll get over it. You'll get over it. You'll move beyond it. Well, more than likely, that's the case. People use that because that's typically what happens. But there's other pieces and parts that go with that. So it's not just a matter of taking time. Like I mentioned, we are not as forgiving with our emotional or spiritual health. And so we don't typically give ourselves time to heal. Instead, what we do is we end up suppressing or responding in some other negative way. And the outcome of that is that it's going to resurface in some way or another. Because really, we have no control over it. It's just like a wound that has a scab that doesn't heal. That emotional hurt is just laying there. Maybe it's seeping a little bit now and then into your thoughts or your actions. But maybe nothing happens at all. And then one day the scab is ripped off and it causes this massive explosion of emotion to occur. And my guess is that that's typically in some uncontrollable manner. In my first book, I spoke about this idea of the healing process and the healing of the heart and how it is a process. Sometimes healing takes us into a place that's dark and dirty before it ever gets cleansed. I don't know about you, but I recall the story of Jacob and Esau in the Bible. And in Genesis chapter 27 and on in some following chapters there, we hear this event that takes place between these two twin brothers. Jacob takes Esau's blessing. And regardless of how you see the event playing out, Jacob ends up with the blessing of the firstborn son, which this is pretty incredible. It's incredibly important for his culture that he's in. Some of us, so much so that the dog is howling again. I don't know if you can hear him. My apologies. But this blessing is incredibly important, so much so that in that culture, a male's success can hinge on that blessing. And so in order to move into a place of healing, Jacob physically endures a wrestling match with God. Okay, that's scary in itself, right? But when the match is over, it doesn't just end. God blesses Jacob. And I think that gives us an example of what happens in our process of healing. That when we move through the healing process in a healthy way, not only is the result a clean wound, but we come out of this healing often with a blessing. Actually, I say there's a blessing every time. It's just a different form sometimes. But what occurs is our spirit is renewed. It's like this green twig that wields new life. Our spirit is refreshed and restored into this completeness. And in Christ, think of the way that Christ heals, right? It's in totality. It's not in part. And so that's what's taking place for us, this wrestling and this movement in our spirit. It's occurring in a way that is total, complete cleansing for us. I don't know if you're in that place. I hope not. But if you are, I also hope that what you take with you today is there is a place for healing, like Jacob. It might require us to wrestle a little bit with God and with ourselves. And like the wound that's physical, it takes time. It has to be cleansed. It has to be without infection to heal properly. But it does heal. And you know what? Sometimes it leaves a scar. But you know the really cool things about scars is they remind us. And sometimes those scars are good to be reminded of. Sometimes they remind us of the blessing that comes with it. If you're in any of these places right now, I hope that you're going to receive these next words in a great way. And I hope that above everything else, you know that I'm always praying for you. I'm always thinking of what you, as the listener, are enduring today. And I'm hoping for the best in your life and for blessings. But I want to share this scripture with you today because I think it really resonates into this idea of healing. It comes from Joel in chapter 2, and it's verses 23 through 25 and on into a little bit further in that as well. But it's Joel telling us that we are to rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers both autumn and spring rains as before. And the threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. And the Lord says, I will repay you for the years that the locusts have eaten. If you are in a place of hurting, I am praying these blessings over you, that not only God will heal this wound, that he will help you to wrestle through it and he will heal you, but that he is sending the rains that need to be there in order for you to be restored. And in that he is filling you up in such a way that it is going to overflow. I love you, my friend. I am so excited to be taking this journey with you. Have a blessed week.